criteria, so only 7 proposals are under consideration. And given the uncertainty of the Rays' future here, that we ask those who would respond to provide plans both with a stadium and also without a stadium, the quality of these proposals, the amount of work that went into them, is quite remarkable. So this one's an example. There has already been some reporting on this group's proposal. This is Unicorp National Development. It's nearly 200 pages. And when you see these submissions, I think you'll quickly realize that the future has never been brighter here. So how does this all work? So I'm gonna have Alan Delisle discuss the process and the timeline. But first, I wanna highlight that I have assembled an experienced team of internal reviewers for all these proposals. I think this might be the largest group to have ever served in such a capacity, and I'm very grateful to them because they likely will have thousands of pages to read through. I think Alan, there he is, Alan has already read these, so I'm gonna turn the mic over to Alan to discuss the process and the timeline. Alan?
Black ancestors matter. Don't forget the
Thank you, Mayor.
Cemetery.
We're very pleased to be here to talk about the process related to the TROP site, which is extremely important. Let me just mention that there's really kind of 3 components to this. There was the pre-RFP time period where we repeatedly went to the mayor and deputy mayor and said, I think we're ready to issue this RFP. And they said, no, I want you to go out and look at something else. Study this, study that. What's the impact of transportation? What's the impact of a community benefits agreement, et cetera, et cetera. So we spent an enormous amount of time, 3 years, thoroughly researching every aspect of this development, doing studies, research. We've issued most of those. But if you need access to any of that information, we have that. And we're very proud of the amount of work that we did. We looked at other cities. We looked at how they approach things. We looked at all of the development projects that were comparable throughout the country and the world. So an extensive process. And we talked to the public extensively and got tremendous, over a course of 3 years, we did plans for this. It was all input from the community, from people who cared about what happened behind us. And then we put all of that into the RFP. So if you read that RFP, RFP reflects the values and goals for the development of this site. It's not about one stakeholder or 2 stakeholders or 3 stakeholders. It is about the community coming together to do something enormously successful for the city and the stakeholders. And then we get to the RFP process. So it's great to be there, and it's great to receive the proposals that we did. Not everybody can do this project. This is a big project, national in scope. It requires a special, unique team of individuals to come together, and that has happened. We can't wait to release those proposals to you so you can all take a look and determine what you think. When we release those, we're going to have a comment section on the webpage, on our webpage, so that individuals can respond and give us their thoughts and ideas and feedback about that proposal. So we're looking forward to that. The mayor indicated that we have a very professional group of reviewers, 26 to be exact, that will be coming together and reviewing this proposal from every aspect: sustainability, health and all policies, economic development, job creation, equity, all of these major issues that are so important and beyond any one stakeholder. We will provide the strengths and weaknesses of each proposal through that committee to the mayor for the mayor's consideration. Once the mayor reviews that and reviews all the comments that have come in through the webpage, the mayor intends to shortlist those proposals. Once that shortlist is made, then we'll go through another extensive process. We'll do more outreach into the community. We'll interact with more stakeholders. We'll get more input
We'll let the development teams present their ideas and proposals and how they address the values and goals in the RFP. And we'll listen. We'll listen very carefully to the community and see how we can knit this together with all of these comments. But it can be done, and it will be done. The mayor ultimately will then make a selection based on that process. And that process also includes input on a regular basis every day from the council. We will listen all the way through to the community and to the council and to the members of our administration. Once we get through that process, then the mayor has a very big decision to make, which is to select the developer for this site. Once the developer is selected, then the third process begins. We will have a negotiation with that developer, we will work with our stakeholders, and we will put a public-private partnership together for the redevelopment of the trap site. Thank you.
What about the lost cemetery?
Thank you, Alan. And I want to say thank you to Nikki Capehart. Nikki helped lead a recent community collaborative sponsored by the Bloomberg Harvard City Leadership Initiative. It's been focused on this very piece of land, and it will serve as yet another data point as we move forward. So I don't think we can emphasize enough just how vital public engagement and outreach is to this process. In many ways, it began in 2008 when Stu Sternberg first proposed a new stadium in St. Petersburg, and that was 13 years ago. And as an aside, I always find it interesting that we were the preferred home in 2008 when no one knew who St. Pete was. We weren't receiving many national accolades and things were much sleepier. But here we are in 2021 and we're still having this this discussion despite our population growth and elevation as a city. But as it relates to the community, one of the things that I love about each of these proposals that you will see today is a partnership between the developers and our residents. These developers clearly heard our desires and directives loud and clear.
Don't choose profit over people.
And if you know St. Pete, you'll recognize many community leaders in these proposals, which is really key to this project's success. And let me be clear about this. The redevelopment of this site must not serve to advance political agendas. It must not occur to the sole benefit of a developer or a baseball team or anyone else. The focus must be on the people of St. Petersburg, on opportunities for our people, on making people's lives better. This is public land, which means the public must benefit, and they must benefit soon. Last week, we celebrated the life of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. His famous letter from a Birmingham jail reminded us that, quote, justice too long delayed is justice denied. This site needs to deliver some justice, and it needs to begin delivering that now, not 2 years from now or 7 years from now. We need to move forward with redevelopment and the opportunities that come with it right now. There are people in our city right now that need affordable or workforce housing. There are people that need jobs. There are people that want to enjoy more green space. There are people like me who want to see this site and its neighbors to the north reconnected to Campbell Park and residents to the south. And after a preliminary review of the responses, I believe many of the proposals will help to accomplish that. In fact, our request for proposals, which was informed by the community, is quite audacious. We are asking a lot of these developers, and it appears that they've stepped up. But I cannot talk about the future of the Tropicana Field site redevelopment without talking about the Tampa Bay Rays and the current status of my discussion with the Rays. Now, throughout my time as mayor, I have made it a point to not negotiate through the press, as much as I love you all. And because of that and my relationship with the team, we've been able to make some great strides. I remain proud of the work we did in 2015 and 2016 to give the team 3 years to look around Tampa Bay for a future stadium site. And I was disappointed that at the end of those 3 years, we were no closer to a decision regarding the future of the franchise. Because I'm all about progress and the give and take that's required to get there,
a lot of articles, a lot of stories about progress that we've made. But in order to move this city forward and to get clarity on this site as it relates to baseball, it was important that my negotiations and conversations with the Rays remain between us until such time as there was news to share. And today, as we release the responses to the TROP site RFP, I do have news to share. And that news impacts the future of the TROP site and its history of failed promises and undelivered opportunities, as much as it impacts the future of the Rays in St. Petersburg. 5 years ago, and as recently as this past year, we encouraged the Rays to consider responding to the RFP when it was issued, or in the alternative, to partner with a developer in response to the RFP. And even after I informed the Rays that I would not object to their exploring a split season for 2028 and beyond, provided that the city did not spend any of its general revenue funds or capital improvement funds on the construction of a new stadium, for reasons of their own choosing, the Rays decided against responding to the RFP or partnering with a developer who was responding. Instead, the Rays did put an offer on the table, and the effect of which would do several things that impact this RFP and the community. The Rays have asked the city to put aside almost 50 acres of the site, specifically the land to the east of Booker Creek. And of this almost 50 acres, roughly 14 would be parkland. But the remaining land would be controlled by the Rays, with the Rays owning all the land upon which, other than the land upon which the stadium was to sit. The city would receive no financial interest from transferring ownership of the land to the Rays, nor would the city receive development right proceeds on this land as it was developed. The Rays would retain 100% of those proceeds. And for the remaining land, located west of Booker Creek, the Rays have asked for 50% of the development right proceeds. Now, if we were to accept this offer, because the Rays would have control over the 36 acres east of Booker Creek, which represents about 40% of the total site, we would have to reject all of the RFP responses, and we'd then have to reissue an RFP for the remaining 36 acres located west of Booker Creek. But of even greater concern, the moment the city turns complete and total control over the 36 acres to the Rays, the city loses all ability and authority to ensure that the community's voice is heard, that the history of the site, the unkept promises, are fulfilled. And while the Rays have been a wonderful community partner and through their foundation have done so many things to benefit this community, without the city's ownership and control of the development, I cannot guarantee that the wishes of the city and the community occur on that portion of the property. Now, the Rays have made it clear to me that they are unsure whether they can move forward with the stadium on this site without ownership and control of the land, as it is the proceeds from the land value that will help fund a new stadium. Now, look, I want the Rays here. I want the team to stay. I want to work with ownership on creative ways to finance a new stadium that do not involve city taxpayer dollars if it's a split season. But I simply cannot allow the city and the community to lose control of the site. My preference is that the Rays work with the city and the developer that I choose on the specifics of the development around a new stadium. And we work together on identifying other stadium funding opportunities. That redevelopment, including a new stadium, that occurs on the site. And I hope that the path forward, that there is a path forward, and my door will continue to be open, and I stand ready to and willing to have future discussions related to a way of ensuring the team stays here as long as control of the site comes back to the city. So with that, I will answer questions.
This is Mayor Rick Kreisman live from Tropicana Field.
With the contractor to sort through these seven different proposals, is that now not happening?
No, the RFP is moving forward. As I say, we will be posting those seven. Encourage you to take a look at them. From my cursory view of them, there are some significant proposals that have been submitted.
I'm talking about the contractor that you're discussing.
Oh, no. Yeah, no, that's not happening. We're moving forward without that. Correct.
You said 8.
How do they differ, you mean, from the master plan? Well, first off, in the RFP, there was some very specific requirements as it related to the community and what our expectations were around the community and the site, the history of the site. And I think what you'll see is that these responses address those, each in their own way, each with their own vision for the site, although some of the visions seem to be similar. I think you'll find that they were very thorough, very detailed, and very well thought out.
Remember the lost cemetery?
There are, yeah, many of the proposals have community involvement, from members of the community to developers. So you'll see a lot of familiar names in the proposals. You know, we're going to look at each one of the proposals, the strengths and weaknesses, and consider all the different variables it includes, who's involved, and ultimately, obviously, our goal is to make sure that we that the decision that I make based on the information and review is what hopefully will be the best decision for the city and the community going forward. So the I-175 overpass, there is a study that is currently ongoing that has not been completed yet. Some of the proposals, I did see some mention of possibilities depending on the results of that study. My hope is that we can peel some of that highway back. It is something that's happening around the country right now. Certainly the fact that our Secretary of Transportation designate, Pete Buttigieg, as a mayor, understands the impact of highways and exits like this on cities and communities. I hope that'll help get us to that point where maybe we can have that peel back. Yeah, it, you know, I have total confidence in my team. It was another data point for us. You know, and certainly we're always looking, if there's opportunities for additional data points, we're always looking for that. But I have total confidence in the team. And this is, as I mentioned in my comments, it's the largest group we've put together ever, I think, for a project like this. But this is a project that is going to have impacts on the community for generations to come. And so, you know, it's really important that that we do have a team like that put together and we get it right.
You're going to have the comment section online so that people can comment. Obviously, this is an issue that a lot of people have opinions about. You have a gentleman behind you who has some opinions. Are you going to have public workshops where the community will be able to come and also express those opinions verbally?
Yes. We're going to go into an extensive public outreach process beyond the comments on the website. Once we have a short list, and then we will have those developers present to the community numerous times, feedback from the community, discussion, so that will occur.
And just as a follow-up, we want to encourage the community, read these responses and give us your feedback. The gentleman behind me, I hope he'll go online and give us his feedback. We want the feedback from the community. That's also part of the reason, and Nikki's been leading our collaborative effort. It's been really important that we make sure that we loudly and clearly hear the voice of the community on everything that we do going forward on this project.
When do you think you might have an agreement between the Rays or more news to share on that? Is there any timeline? Any timeline on the Rays agreement?
No timeline on that. As I said, and I want to be very clear on this, my door is open. I am happy to sit down at any point in time. What I want to try and avoid, quite frankly, though, is I don't want to be put in a position where I'm having to choose between the team and the community. You know, we want to get to a place, if we're able to resolve something, where it's a win-win. But if I have to choose, I'm going to, you know, I'm always choose the community.
But I think there's a way of resolving it where we're not, I'm not facing that kind of a choice.
You previously said that you wouldn't commit city dollars to a part-time stadium. Are you softening that a little bit in this situation?
No, and I've tried, I mean, I think I've been really consistent from the beginning where I've said if the team wants to, you know, to explore the split and is able to make it work, you know, for I'm not opposed to that if as long as city taxpayer dollars don't pay for the construction of the stadium. We have TIF dollars that we have set aside for infrastructure on this site. We own the land, so obviously there are things we can do related to a lease of the land on the site. But as far as the construction for a stadium for a split, you know, I've tried to be very clear on that.
Does that mean redevelopment dollars as well?
City general fund or capital improvement dollars.
Touch on some of those requirements that were in that document that they had
to fulfill, such as affordable housing. Alan, you want to mention some of those?
So we had a number of, we had 21 priorities, 21 goals and objectives that were articulated in the RFP. And I don't know that I am going to challenge myself to cite every one of those 21, but I think you should get a hold of that RFP and look at those 21 principles. Those have driven us through this whole process. They will continue to drive us through this whole process. But some of them, you know, clearly green space is extremely important. And that's important to the developer as well. You can't have a good development without a significant amount of green space. We've had a lot of discussions about that. Affordable housing. You know, the mayor has been very clear about that from day one. We're going to have a mixed price point on housing on this site. Small business, local small business involvement in the construction and in the aftermath of that. We have talked about a hotel with a convention space, significant convention space, which the city does not have. It would be great to have something like that in the city. So we built that into the proposal. A number of equity issues, a number of historic, let's get this right, perspectives on this. Including community benefit agreements. How does this site benefit South St. Pete in particular? Many of the pledges and promises that were made in the past did not happen. So this RFP is there is several elements to that throughout the RFP. I've been in this business quite a while, and I know that I received a number of calls from developers and others throughout the country about, wow, I mean, you guys really spent some time on this RFP. This is going to take us a lot of time and effort to respond to this. And I said, that's correct. That's exactly what we want. And the proposals, many of the proposals that you're going to see at 4 o'clock have spent an enormous amount of time and effort and money thinking through the principles of this RFP.
Just a little more context on those 21 principles and how they came to be. There was a comprehensive community process that involved anyone who had an interest, but had a particular focus on the stakeholders who feel ownership of this site based on its historical significance. This is a generational project, both generationally, the generation past and the generation forward. And so the equity-based elements that are really the root of those 21 principles were positioned in the RFP in such a way that they are prerequisite to any consideration going forward, and that is the way in which they will be approached. And you'll see when you look at the proposals that have come in, that's very clear. They understand that, and they are ready to work with the city in a way that moves this site forward in the fullness of its potential in a way that beautifully honors the history that has happened here and finds a way to elevate it to new standards that will serve as a catalyst to push our city forward to new heights larger than any that can be currently imagined. And so those 21 principles are really the basis on which this RFP will unfold.
Reinter the bodies buried under the 12 acres.
Mayor, kind of going off of that, I know that you have said that you plan to work with archaeologists to determine if there are graves here. And I know we're a ways away from the development even beginning, but where are you in terms of starting that portion of the work?
Yeah, thank you for that question. We are in the process of hiring a team to go out and do that research for us, radar assessment related to that cemetery, to get all the facts related to that before anything moves forward. Again, we've got a long process ahead of us. We've got this selection process that I just described. The mayor has to make that decision. And then we've got a long negotiating process that takes place too. So we are in the process of hiring a firm to go out and assess that situation for us.
Could we see that this year, do you think? Within the year?
Oh yeah, definitely.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yes.
It's clear that you want to leave your fingerprints on this before you leave office, but how concerned are you that a lot of these things may stretch out before your term, you know, before your term ends, and that you don't have the final say on what this looks like?
Yeah, I mean, from the beginning, my intention was to move the ball. As I said in my comments, you know, there are a lot of people waiting for affordable housing and needing affordable housing. The community is looking for opportunity. The community is looking for us to create jobs. And so my goal in this whole process has been to move us toward that, to achieving those things. And I'm not willing to, and I don't think the city and the community shouldn't be willing to wait 2 years, 4 years, 7 years, 10 years to see the results of these efforts. We need these things now. And so, you know, I'm whether it happens while I'm here or not, I'm going to do everything I can to move us toward that goal and those objectives of creating those jobs, of creating opportunity, of bringing housing that's affordable, greater numbers of that to the community, of restoring the promises that were never kept, of honoring the history of the site. I'm gonna do everything in my power to move us to those goals so that we can achieve those. Would I love to see at least decisions made while I'm sitting here? Obviously. But I'm gonna do everything I can to keep that moving forward so that the community doesn't have to keep waiting. They've waited too long. No, I have not spoken with any of the candidates thus far about this. All right. Thank you all.